What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list? You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
The situation is incredibly dangerous. The situation is fluid. It is dynamic. This is the largest civilian deployment in Minnesota history that we have out there today. And quite candidly, right now, we do not have the numbers. We cannot arrest people when we're trying to hold ground because of the sheer size, the dynamics, and the wanton violence. The force that we have out there now is about three times larger than the one in the 60s, which was the largest during the race riots. But as you've seen, there's already shots being fired back at our people. This arson that is taking place puts many people at risk. Our firefighters are specifically and very open to target.
And that is without rule of law. Ben the Breaker of Banksters, Cochran here. Episode 99, Patriot Power Hour. We're going to be doing a 90-minute show today, a true power hour, June 2nd, 2020. What you just heard, Governor of Minnesota. This past weekend, without rule of law. We're going to get into that, but let me first bring on my co-host, Future Dan of FutureDanger.com. How you doing there, sir?
Yeah, I'm really upset tonight. I am pissed, and the rioting we've seen since our last show last Tuesday, it just came upon us as fast as this pandemic and economic crash. So we got a trifecta going on in the country right now. A whole bunch of new black indicators. S hitting the fan big time, Ben.
No, if you go to futuredanger.com, and as always, we're going to have the news blitz in the second segment. But if you want to preview now or follow along later, futuredanger.com. I think that it's equal or potentially more articles, at least, in that red text on black background, highest level of danger of the indicator spectrum on future danger compared to when COVID first went, pun intended, viral and all that financial issues in middle to late March of this year, just a few months ago. It's equal or potentially hotter now. It's looking pretty crazy.
Yeah, but they're different indicators. We have the 82nd Airborne staged outside of Washington, D.C. That indicator was built on my personal experience in the military. That unit, when it deploys for civil unrest, riot control first, and they go to the military district of Washington, D.C. first because posse comitatus doesn't apply in the military district of D.C. It's not a state, right? Never thought I'd see the actual indicator be activated so fast, but it has in less than 7 days.
And that's absolutely, you read my mind. Might as well hit it now since you struck on that. I saw that indicator and I was like, did you actually foresee, you know, you built this in and it's one of the first times, if not the first time, it's come up over the several years you've had future danger, but it hit hard. And as you said, D.C. is a whole different animal, even compared to some of the states at a whole different level. So can you give a little background on that? When did you put that in? Was that indicator built when your site was first created, or did you add it later, or when?
the entire set of 492 indicators were done all at once.
Wow, that's crazy. And I'm looking at it right now. I just pulled it up. So you're in like 3-4 years that you've been doing it, this has never hit. It's been there for, you know, 3-4 years, but it's only had two articles. They were both from yesterday. 82nd Airborne Division Immediate Response Force sent to National Capital to back up the 16th Military Police Brigade and active duty military police en route to D.C. from Fort Bragg. So that's pretty crazy. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Future Danger is 4.5, almost 5 years old now. Wow. And those were all done together. And that one stems from my personal experience in the Army. I was a platoon leader in the 82nd Airborne in the fall of 2000 when we had the fiasco in Florida with the election and the hanging chads and the constitutional crisis, and it went to the Supreme Court and they decided that George W. Bush was going to be the winner of Florida and therefore he was going to win the presidency. And next thing I know, my platoon was out on the parade field having drawn riot shields, riot helmets, chest protectors, man. Batons. And we drilled. We drilled for 3 days, stomp and drag and opening up the riot shields, having my team go forward and extract problem actors on the other side. And we had other soldiers, acting as the rioters to practice against. And in the end, we got stood down. We did not drive from Fort Bragg to Fort Belvoir, which is exactly what happened yesterday. Those troops are there now. That ready brigade, and that's the same brigade that's ready to go, 72 hours anywhere in the world airborne. They're also called upon, and the news reports are talking about military police, and those military policemen obviously get a lot extra training in this sort of thing. But that's an infantry battalion, if not three of them, not just police. That's heavy, and with that governor admitting in the clip that we played on Friday night going into Saturday morning that, quote, he didn't have the numbers. I personally sat and watched that press conference and thought that the president would automatically suspend Posse Comitatus and send troops in. We got another clip, though, of what the president said yesterday. He's a little bit late with this, but he did declare he was going to do something like this if the governors and mayors can't take control.
Here we go. Let's get with that clip right now.
Today, I have strongly recommended to every governor to deploy the National Guard in sufficient numbers that we dominate the streets. Mayors and governors must establish an overwhelming law enforcement presence until the violence has been quelled. If a city or state refuses to take the actions that are necessary to defend the life and property of their residents, then I will deploy the United States military and quickly solve the problem for them. I am dispatching thousands and thousands of heavily armed soldiers, military personnel, and law enforcement officers to stop the rioting, looting, vandalism, assaults, and the wanton destruction of property.
So there you heard it from Mr. Trump himself. Thousands of heavily armed soldiers being sent out to quell this. And Insurrection Act as well. So Future Dan, you really are the expert on this in so many ways. Parse what Donald Trump just said. There's a lot to it, but I want you to really hit on a couple of the key themes. Just kind of decipher those.
Well, Insurrection Act was passed in 1807. It's been federal code for, 200 plus years. And it's been amended, I think the last time in 2006. Of course, after the occupation of the Confederacy, the defeat of the Confederacy and the occupation, Union troops had excesses, which always happens when an army occupies. Anywhere, anytime in history, there's excesses. So the Posse Comitatus Act was passed, which puts pretty strong boundaries on what the president can do. But he always remains authorized to declare insurrection and use federal troops. And bringing them into the district is one thing, because it's a federal district. Posse Comitatus does not apply. Putting them into Minnesota, that's a different matter. Last time that happened was 68 riots, not in my lifetime. So worst economic crash, worst pandemic, and worst rioting in my lifetime in the past 60 days. That's what we're looking at. This is danger now, not future danger.
Yeah, right. Seriously. I want to go back to Minnesota, though, because this is where it really took off, obviously, because of the murder. I consider it a murder, but...
Straight up murder.
We could talk a little bit about that, but what this show doesn't really talk too much about. We're a lot more macro, I suppose. But we can definitely talk a little bit about that. But what I'm trying to say is Minnesota, that night when they, in my opinion, when the police station got overrun, that was really the kickoff for the nationwide, all bets are off. And really, things have not calmed down, even though it's 4 or 5 days later. Things are still pretty out of control right now.
8 days later. We're at 8 days later.
Well, last Friday, I guess, when was that police station? When did that go down? Do you remember?
A few hours before the clip of Tim right. Walz we just played to open the show.
Okay.
It had just happened.
That's when I consider it like it really, that's when it blew to that next level. That was when it was beyond Ferguson, right? Or beyond some of those things we saw in the last 5-10 years. An equal and then surpass Rodney King type of situation was that. Do you, now that Minnesota governor, I know you had some choice words for him and also the National Guard, I believe, general. I don't know if we have a clip of that, but they kind of let this bowl gain steam. They're a little culpable, potentially, not just because they murdered that guy, but because of how they handled it. Any thoughts on that before we get into the news blitz here in a little bit?
They didn't murder that guy. Minnesota authorities didn't murder George Floyd. The police officer did. Just one of them did that. And by the way, there was news out there that the owner of a club, a nightclub in Minneapolis, spoke to the press and admitted that both the cop and the black man who died from that arrest worked at the same club as security. That shoe's gonna drop later. Right now, it doesn't serve anybody's interest if you're in favor of, inciting riot. That piece of news should be overlooked. But the chances are, if that's true, these two knew each other, and that's just a murder. Happened to be that one of them was on duty as a cop at the time. Who knows what history they had? Obviously, it's too late now to worry about it because we've had 140 cities burned, partially or quite a bit as a result. When you see a videotape like come out, and you're the prosecutor in Minneapolis, and you wait 96 hours to announce the firing, and then, some amount of time after that to make the arrest, you got to begin to question who benefits from rioting, who benefits from social strife, and of what political party is the prosecutors and leaders making this decision just sit on it? How does Minnesota not bring their guard out like it's a real natural, like a tornado just hit. That's how fast you should be out
right
when a video like that comes out. But they weren't, and there's many, many, many square miles of Minneapolis without rule of law for several nights. If you needed an ambulance, if you had some need for the police, if your house or business was on fire, it wasn't there without rule of law. That's why I called that first video tonight, without rule of law. The second video, or not video, but audio clip. The second one, we're calling it excessive rule of law, right? Maybe justified at this point to have the U.S. Army, the 18th Airborne Corps, on the streets. It's still excessive. It's not the way we want to be. So we're lurching between two extremes, and it's the types of extremes that people prepare for. That's what a lot of people's preps are designed for, this very scenario, and it's happening.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's a great way to put it, all of them. And they're all intertwining. And when we get to the, when I get to the news blitz here on the second half, as I said, and as you really commented on in such an astute way, the volume of major news is equal or greater than COVID, but it's all different indicators and different columns. And you got to remember, COVID didn't go away either. And COVID played a role, and it is playing a role in this. One thing that I mentioned, you and I were talking off air beforehand, a lot of these rioters, and not even the rioters per se, but the protesters as well, even the peaceful ones, they don't have jobs to go back to. They don't have to stop on Monday, right? And they don't, and a lot of them really realize they're never getting a job and don't care anymore. So this is a lot different than it was 2 years, 5 years, 10 years ago. From that point of view, when we have 40 plus million unemployed, and a great portion of that is lower income and young people and minorities. I mean, that has a huge impact. So anyway, you know, I'm kind of pontificating here, but we're going to be going to break. Got tons to talk about here. We are on a full 90 minutes today. We'll be back next week with the 100th episode, Future Dan. Can you believe it? 100 episodes coming up in just about a week. Absolutely crazy. So I do want to give a shout out to all our friends here on Prepper Broadcast Network before we go to break. And as the music rolls, unbelievable Corona cast last night, or COVID cast. I always call it Corona cast. Tons of information. The listeners, I think, are getting a treat. Listen to the PBN. Help us get the word out to even more people, though. Don't let this a little secret. We'll be back.
By the gasworks wall, dream the dream by the old canal.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
This is a special announcement from the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Contact us now for preparedness consultation. We use a network of professionals to build your base of essential preparedness. Let us put you in touch with those professionals in emergency response planning, first aid and medicine, security tactics and training, gunsmithing, food safety, and community organizing. Our experts cover homesteading to bushcraft and everything in between. Build a real emergency response plan for your family or business. Create a written contingency plan complete with drills, guides, and annual goals. Customize your strategy to threats you face today. PBN experts can write your plan to address the six categories of base-level preparedness. We will discuss how to meet each need within your budget. Create an effective bug-out plan. There is a lot to the bug-out. If you are truly going to evacuate in an emergency, let's talk about it. Go deep and build out your prepping dreams. Have you tackled the basics? Take it to the next level with tactical and investment advice from our subject matter experts. Let's set up that initial consult and get your preparedness goals met. Go to prepperbroadcasting.com/preparedness-consultation. Affordable preparedness consulting starts with a $50 initial consult. This is the Prepper Broadcasting Network, building self-reliance and independence across the nation.
To oppose tyranny and fight for the rights our Creator bestowed us in the United States Constitution. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Who wouldn't publish it?
I got it. Well, what am I supposed to do? You want to write a piece called We're All Fucked?
Yes! That's a perfect title!
Casey,
Right now, every bank in town is unloading these shit bonds onto unsuspecting customers, and they won't devalue them until they get them off their books. This level of criminality is unprecedented, even on fucking Wall Street.
Jamie, this is me being honest here, okay? It took me years to build my relationships on Wall Street. No bank or ratings agency is going to confirm a story like this just because it comes from two guys in a... Sorry, GarageBand hedge fund that thinks it's the apocalypse.
Wow. I thought you were for real, Casey. You know, I have to say, I really did.
Yeah, Jamie, you try being for real with a three-year-old and a wife getting her master's degree. Look, I'm not going to burn my reputation on your wild hunch.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour, episode 99, Ben the Breaker of Banksters here, June 2nd, 2020, News Blitz, follow along, FutureDanger.com, it's a doozy. Wish me luck. Again, FutureDanger.com, June 2nd, 2020, starting the first column, Liberty. News blatantly censored. All of these articles are at absolute highest alert. MSNBC reporter was claiming that protests were not unruly as the building was literally burning behind him. If you haven't seen that video, that's doublespeak right on his face. Twitter censors the president's tweet for glorifying violence. Media present violent riots as peaceful protests. I've seen many instances of that. More top level news in this column. Coronavirus this time related. Supreme Court turns aside church plea that California's coronavirus lockdown denies religious freedom. Remember, we have this thing called COVID and all the ramifications from that going on. Not much talk about that these days, though. But that's a big trending article, Supreme Court there. And we got some more we'll talk about here. But let's go right to the main event. Second column. Geopolitics, but also national security, and in this case, domestic security. Riots erupt. Urgent and trending indicator. One of the first times I've seen that. Over more than 25 separate articles. I'm going to read some of the headlines. Here we go. So, Minneapolis riot provocateurs are saying that suspicious people are doing damage. People from out of state, out of town are in there, and they're leading some of that. In LA, LAPD cars were burning in absolute chaos, just left there with no defense, essentially. Sitting ducks to be burned, trophy prizes. Molotov attack on NYPD vehicle, this time with several police officers inside, not abandoned. Salt Lake rioters beat a man who confronts them with a bow and arrow. We talked a little earlier about the Minneapolis police station being overrun and literally people being evacuated like it's Saigon or something. Well, in Miami, riot police surrounded and held their ground at police headquarters. We have the numbers are all over the place, but we're seeing, let me find the best one that's kind of nationally. We're seeing at least 1,400 arrests in 17 cities. But I'm also seeing reports of in 140 cities. Here's the thing. It's not just 1, 2, 5, or even 10 cities. 140 cities are seeing arrests in total. 4,000 arrests in those 140 cities. Some cities just like 5 or 10 people. Some of them hundreds. 9 dead. So at least, thankfully, we're not seeing hundreds of dead or anything. But this is heating up, not going down these numbers by any means. Lincoln and World War II memorials were vandalized in D.C. Chicago's seen some of the worst of its 700 arrests in Chicago, with 132 officers injured. A Philadelphia pharmacy was looted for 15 hours straight. That's what's kind of crazy about this. Just lawlessness for prolonged periods, for blocks upon blocks, even miles upon miles. It's not just like a 10-block area. There's that 82nd Airborne staged near Washington indicator. And about 5 years, never been activated. It's got two articles, as I already mentioned earlier, so we'll bypass that for now. National Guard activated also SHTF, the highest level out of like five, I think. Listen, these are not handed out like candy. In earlier episodes of Patriot Power Hour, there'd be no articles in this SHTF level. Now, probably 40 today. Anyway, National Guard mobilized by five states. D.C. National Guard deploys in the Capitol. Minnesota National Guard reports 4,100 troops. 4,100. Damn. 67,000 National Guard troops activated. Not necessarily deployed yet. That's pretty unbelievable. We're still in the same column, and I'm trying to go fast, but there's so much to get to. I'm trying to watch. Government facilities attacked. DHS officer killed, another injured in drive-by shooting outside of Oakland Federal Courthouse. Secret Service in riot gear tackle rioters bursting through White House barricades. So the Secret Service had to get out there. 60 Secret Service agents injured by rioters. That's pretty insane, really. All just since the last week of Patriot Power Hour, this has all developed, even less time than that. Philadelphia police announced citywide curfew. Geez, that's almost everywhere now. Atlanta, obviously Minneapolis, St. Paul, D.C., New York. First New York curfew since 1943. Unbelievable. Let's see, what else we got? We got so much. I can really just keep going. Yeah, since 1943 in New York City, Posse Comitatus. I can say it better, but when I tried to read it, it throws me off, I swear. President threatens to deploy military if governors and mayors do not control riots. Army issues warning orders for riot control. Went through a bunch of that. And there's still very important topical news I'm not even going to cover with China and with Russia as well. Seeing some stuff heating up there. Going to leave that for now. Let's head to the third column, economic. Oh, just another 2.1 million people unemployed in the last week or so from COVID. Wells Fargo stops making loans to most independent car dealerships if you're not a big box brand, right? One of those type of dealerships. Or, you know, each city usually has like two or three car salesmen that run the whole place at most, right? Everyone, they got those crappy commercials. I know. I've lived lots of different places. Well, Wells Fargo's not making loans to most of the smaller independent ones anymore. Firms widely fail. Big bankruptcies sweep the U.S. at the fastest pace since May 2009. And here's an article, which I'm going to expand upon a lot more in another segment later on. But GDP shrinks at 5% annual rate in the first quarter. So from January 1st to March 31st, GDP down 5% at that annualized rate. Q2, they're looking at 30 to 50%. So I'm going to talk a lot more about that. That's not one of the articles now, but kind of a preview for a couple months from now, maybe. Let's move on real quick, though, to the fourth column. We got a little bit of COVID-19 news still trickling through. Obviously, we passed more than 100,000 deaths in America, but we have thousands of Dutch COVID-19 patients likely to have permanent lung damage. It's not just the deaths, it's those that are permanently scarred by it. 6 million coronavirus cases globally, global death toll allegedly 400,000, and fresh Ebola outbreak in the Congo. Got some other pretty interesting stuff, including the State University of New York engineering a mouse with 4% human cells. Pretty crazy. But let me take my leave and bring Future Dan in, because there was just so much I covered, so much to talk about. Future Dan, where do you want to go?
Yeah, the military-grade violence that was lower down in column one. You did a great job, but I got to, be there for you to back you up on that one. National Guard and police shot and killed someone after taking fire in the streets. That doesn't even get into the riot erupts indicator. That gets into the military-grade violence indicator. And that one's red. Haven't had that since the Dallas shooting of, you know, when the police took on a lone shooter and he took out a lot of them. Historically bad news. And if you're a prepper and you're listening to this show, my advice to you is right after this show, listen to the rest of our hosts. Whatever they're talking about today is probably very important to start practicing, because this all came on in the last 7 days. All we talked about was COVID last week. and now this, something could be next, and it could come on us just as fast.
And that's why, hopefully, you've done a little bit of prepping yourself and have been paying attention for quite a while. But even if you just kind of woke up, even if just COVID had you wake up to how important prepping and paying attention to the news and fighting the good fight, I'll leave it at that. Guess what? You can still learn. You still have a little bit of time, but you need to accelerate it. And for those, and this would include myself, it's time to get your ass in gear. You know, if prepping used to be just kind of a hobby, you need to make it a lifestyle. And that's, try to pep talk myself. And I've definitely made several more investments in time, energy, and money into preps and different skill sets, etc., in the last few months. But I need to double down again, because this is a whole new set of threats that everyone's been looking at COVID, but now we got this. But that's a little bit of a preview. In the fourth quarter, we're going to be, or in the fourth segment of the show, we're going to be talking a little home defense. Any little preview you want to give on that? And I want to hear a little more about what you think about where we're heading with these riots as well.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about fortifying homes and how you could do that effectively. And it's coming from me from a military, a combat engineer point of view. So stay tuned for that. These riots can grow worse. You know, after this show, 9 p.m., we'll be done. Pretty much going to turn on the TV, scan the cable channels, and stay right on top of Twitter, because, you know, Twitter, for good and for bad in the political quagmire and cesspool it can become, when there's breaking news, it still tends to be the best place to see it first. So that's what I'm going to be doing after this. These riots, if governors like the one in Minnesota who can't react and gain control of their situations fast enough, if that doesn't happen, we're going to have infantry battalions on the streets everywhere. And I was wrong earlier. I noticed something I said earlier was not correct. It's not 1968. It was Rodney King that the Insurrection Act was invoked by George H.W. Bush, and active duty troops were in Los Angeles. So okay. It's not, it has happened in my lifetime. And I think the president right now is really reluctant to do it. But he might be forced to do it pretty soon.
And do you think he's going to do it just in, you know, one or two cities, or a little bit in every city, right? What would it be his strategy politically and militarily?
The cities where the authorities are not showing they're not competent. And okay. The mayor of D.C. is essentially a figurehead for these matters, because it is the military district of Washington. We the Pentagon's there, the White House is there, the Capitol's there. The mayor of D.C. doesn't decide how they're secured, right? but these places like Minneapolis and Chicago and potentially the only police force I can think of that there'd be real pushback for putting federal troops in place would be New York. And New York police have been videotaped driving vehicles into crowds. It's pretty nasty out there in New York. And that curfew, first time since 1943.
Right.
Which, by the way, was when white police officers killed a black soldier during World War II, and there was rioting because of that, and five killed. So this has happened in the history of our country. But the scale of it in the information age in the 21st century is like nothing we've seen before, and I don't know how bad it can get.
And with about 90 seconds before we get into it, I want to get into break. I want to kind of dig a little deeper into how you curate on Twitter, how you find these sources, and what has the mood, does it continue to escalate every night, or has it kind of plateaued? Has it start to dip in intensity? About 90 seconds, give some tips to the listeners on that.
Well, we have proprietary and confidential sources and methods in the social media domain, which are really actually just tedious lists that allow news to be found rapidly. And, it's kind of boring. Just look at the website. It's a product, a lot of finding things on Twitter. And what was the second part of your question?
Have you, the mood, obviously it really kicked off last Friday and Saturday. Has it kind of died down Sunday, Monday into tonight?
Negative.
It's plateaued. Is it escalated? Do you think tonight will be the worst night or equal to the worst? How's it looking? About 30 seconds.
Somebody needs to flatten this curve because it's been getting worse every night.
Someone needs to flatten this curve. Hashtag 2020 phrase of the year. Yeah, seriously. All right, peoples. About halfway done with the Patriot Power Hour. But good news, we still got about 40 minutes of show time. About 5 minutes of commercials. So check out a sponsor or two. And stay with us. We'll be right back on the other side. Patriot Power Hour. Throughout the night, no need to fight. Never a frown
with golden brown. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Hold on. Stop the music. Are you supporting us on Patreon? Do you know that we are doing patron-only podcasts, videos, preparedness plans, incredible tools like our master preparedness schedule, all available at Patreon for $2 a month. $2. You've got that in your couch cushions. Not only that, that money goes to pay the bills for the network. We release ebooks from the hosts for free to our patrons. It's a tremendous opportunity. Not only is it a great value for $2 a month, but it makes a world of a difference for us. It pays the bills, to be frank. So support the network. Check us out at patreon.com/PBN. That's patreon.com/PBN. $2 a month. patreon.com/PBN.
To oppose tyranny and fight for the rights our Creator bestowed us in the United States Constitution. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Whatever possessed God in heaven to make a man like Rambo?
God didn't make Rambo. I made him.
Who the hell are you?
Sam Trotman. Colonel Samuel Trotman.
Look, we're a little busy this morning, Colonel. What can I do for you?
I've come to get my boy.
Your boy?
I recruited him. I trained him. I commanded him in Vietnam for 3 years. I'd say that makes him mine.
I wonder why the Pentagon would send a full-bird colonel down here to handle this.
The Army thought I might be able to help.
Well, I don't know in what way. Rambo's a civilian now. He's my problem.
I don't think you understand. I didn't come here to rescue Rambo from you. I came here to rescue you from him.
Well, we all appreciate your concern, Colonel. And we'll try to be extra careful.
I'm just amazed that he allowed any of your posse to live.
Is that right?
Strictly speaking, he slipped up. You're lucky to be breathing.
That's just great. Colonel, you came out here to find out why one of your machines blew a gasket.
You don't seem to want to accept the fact that you're dealing with an expert in guerrilla warfare. With a man who's the best. With guns, with knives, with his bare hands. A man who's been trained to ignore pain. Ignore weather. To live off the land. To eat things that'll make a billy goat puke. In Vietnam, his job was to dispose of enemy personnel. To kill. Period. Win by attrition. Well, Rambo was the best.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Welcome back to the Patriot Power Hour, episode 99. We've been doing this since late 2017. Ben the Breaker, Banksters, and your other co-host, Future Dan, that being me. And we are talking riots 2020 tonight. Earlier in the show, we played the governor of Minnesota, a little clip. Played the president of the United States from yesterday, another clip. We got a third clip, which is far more interesting than those two. And it comes from a Black Lives Matter original organizer, a young black man who's been part of that movement since Ferguson. And he had choice words that came out on social media. He just filmed himself on some porch. Apologies, but the video that we extracted this audio from, I guess he had an air conditioner playing behind him. So bear with it. He's going to get into what this is really all about. And for all of our listeners who somehow bared with us for the first half of this show, probably jumping out of your seats, asking the question, why aren't we talking about Antifa and what that group is doing right now? Listen to Mr. Chazelle Sons. 3.5 minutes.
White
stick
people.
With it. A lot of profound information coming from someone who's in the Black Lives Matter movement. Play it, Ben.
White people on the left, and they've been doing this, but all of a sudden they, you know, are supporting the black plight. This is all to get as many numbers as they can on their side to fight this civil war that they're planning out, that they're already being prepared for. You're going to have to choose a side. Don't set yourself up to get slaughtered. What's going on right now is so much bigger than the race issue. And if people ask me, Chazelle, so which side are you going to choose? Which side are you going with? If you got to choose the smart side, I'm damn sure not to go about to go over there with Hillary and the Soros. Come on, you got to use your brain. As much as you have to be strategic in your movements. As much as you feel however you feel about the right, they are straightforward. The people on the left are lying to you and trying to get you to do that dirty work and get slaughtered. The people on the left are using us. The Democratic Party are using black people to fight their war with Antifa. It's getting very, very deep. If you don't know who Antifa is, look Antifa up. Basically, a terrorist group. I don't know what people's belief system is. You can call them what you want to call them. But they're basically like a militant group, and they're anti-fascist. That's what Antifa stands for. It stands for anti-fascist. And with that being said, this group is being paid for by, you guessed it, the younger Rothschilds, the Clintons, and the Soros. What I want black people, my people, to understand is don't get involved in something that has nothing to do with y'all. People on the far left are trying to get black people and as many people who are part of the far left to join this side. And what they want to do is they want to take the guns away from the people on the far right. Their whole plan is to even a playing field, because the people on the far right, they deal with guns. They have all the guns. And right now, as it stands, the people on the left are set to get slaughtered. That's why they're pushing gun laws. These white people on the far right, they ready. Look, man, all I'm saying is, hey, they got their guns. They ready to go. They ready to go. While we're sitting up trying to be cute, drinking white tears and shit, this is serious, yo. Do your own research. And white people, you do it because I ain't trying to make this about race. They coming after you. White, black, Mexican, they are coming after us. And I just want to put that out there, let y'all know for a minute, hey man, this is what's going on. Go on and arm yourselves. Your main man, Chaziel Sons.
Yeah, there you have it. Chaziel Sons telling it like it is. That's clipped and edited, Ben, a little bit to get to the main points. He went on for 15 minutes, but he knows what time it is. And some of the news items that we went over them pretty fast in the Blitzkrieg. But, you know, we've been seeing signs from the beginning of these riots that Antifa had flooded right into the zone. And their model in social unrest, you know, this level of asymmetric warfare that we're facing, this insurrection that is really, you know, nascent insurrection going on right now, resembles to me, and based on Sun's analysis, I kind of thought about it. It's not an exact parallel, but if you understand how the Soviet Army fought in World War II, there's parallels. Okay? The Soviets went and brought untold hundreds of thousands of troops from Central Asia and just drafted them from throughout the Soviet Union and put them right on the front lines. But it was the political units, the secret police, the hardcore, dedicated Soviets. They formed units, Ben, that would move behind the front lines. And in that scenario, they would just, you know, put to death any deserters from the front. So it's not a perfect parallel. But it does parallel what we're seeing in Minneapolis and other cities is the obvious race riot that is going to come when a police officer does something like he does, and idiot governors and mayors can't bring out their guard fast enough, is being made thousands of times worse because of the neo-Marxist scum known as Antifa, who's filling the vacuum in the rear areas, the big zones where police can't control things. And we're seeing incendiaries. We're seeing bricks, stacks of bricks in social media being found on sidewalks. We're learning of techniques where they have bicycle scouts that go and find zones where the authorities have no presence and then directing anarchy, you know, the arson mostly. Just the arson and the smashing and the vandalism to parts of the city where they overwhelm the authorities. They're bringing about that excessive rule of law by taking advantage of zones without rule of law. They're behaving like the worst of the worst from the 20th century in terms of street rioting Marxists. And Sons knows it. He knows what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
And there's other social media posts of these skinny black block wearing, you know, Antifa members spraying BLM on businesses in various cities. Some of these videos show black folk going up to them and saying, knock that shit off. They're going to blame us. You're making it worse. I think black people are aware to a growing degree. Hell, if a Black Lives Matter founding member, you know, is saying this, That gives us hope. On the second side of our half of this special episode, 90-minute episode of episode 99 of the Patriot Power Hour, wanted to play Chaziel Sons and say if he's aware of this, maybe we got some hope.
Yeah, hopefully some people are aware. There's some that don't want to be aware and some that are just too young and too stupid. But I agree and hope that some and hopefully more and more are becoming awake, and if folks like him can, good. Because guess what? The real war is against humanity. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, brown, purple, whatever. They really want to turn us not just the 99%, but the 99.99% into, well, really they want to exterminate us is what I've gathered. But at a very minimum, turn us into electronic slaves, not much better off than in the Matrix, right? They suck off our energy, and that's about it. Entertain us with virtual reality and, slide into tyranny. So anyway, that's what they really want. They don't really care about the race part. They just know that divides and conquers us as they try to move along their technocracy and their police state, surveillance state. So, hey, I'm guilty, almost as guilty as anybody, right? Look, kind of my gut reaction is, wow, these thugs charged and overran the Minnesota police station. Like, they should have held their ground and shot them dead. In a way, that's probably, you know, I am only a man, and force must be met with force to some degree. But I do understand that's probably not the best thing to do right now. Maybe cooler heads should prevail. But my point is, it's just that gut reaction makes me almost fall into the police, you know, wanting a more of a police state or more of an aggressive police state. Like, yeah, lock it down. You know, bring the troops in. Let's lock this thing down. You know, these people need to pay. They need to be arrested, go to jail for 20 years. I still believe in that. If you Molotov cocktail somebody, I mean, come on. I'm not just talking about and before I pass it back to you, a huge part of this, you got to remember, most of these folks at the protests are peaceful protesters. And I might disagree with either a little bit or a lot of where they're coming from. Most of them are peaceful. They got some cojones to be out there, right? I've been in some protests. I've been to Bilderberg. You know what Bilderberg is? Bilderberg Group? Go check that out if you know what Bilderberg is. I was there hundreds, if not, at one point, upward of 1,000 protesters there. Tons of cops, tons of a couple armored units, this and that. But we were peaceful. They didn't crack down on us. This is totally different. Molotov cocktails, rocks, hundreds of police being injured. It's not just one or two getting sucker punched or something. And it's not just one or two blocks or the downtown core that's going crazy, right? Like after a sports riot. It's like, you know, 30, 50 blocks away from downtown. So anyway, so much to look at. I am looking forward to kind of bringing this back to prepping, though. And I know you're going to do a great job of this. I'm going to try to help, but I know you're kind of the expert, said combat engineer, et cetera. But fortifying your home or business or not even – we're not trying to be Rambo here or something, right? Even just building a little safe room or safe area in your home in case there's just collateral bullets flying nearby. Or, you know, so much to talk about from that point of view, but – oh, man, I don't know. I'm exasperated to some degree. And again, COVID's not over with, right? But no one's talking about COVID anymore. Isn't that a little ironic, too?
Yeah, and we're going to find out from this if all these crowds of people gathering, if they can't point to data where a second wave was sparked by this, then real questions need to be answered on why we locked down the economy and basically destroyed it. For a pandemic that's, you know, several times more lethal than the flu, but yet again, similar to pandemics we had in the 60s and the 50s where nobody stopped living their lives. Your thoughts on that police station, though, that's not the police state in any proper definition. When a normal police station, which all civilizations have, is overrun like the Alamo, right? If you see that going down and you're not, you know, horrified by it, then you're just not thinking. The amount of territory near that precinct that is now completely lawless is what, you know, think of the geography, the zone around that police station. There's no police there anymore. Every other form of killing, raping, murdering, arson is all possible, and it has happened. Oh, yeah. I don't even think we've begun to even understand the amount of homicides that probably occurred in these zones.
That's a great point.
Philadelphia's great homicide point. Rate is going through the roof. And by the way, drivers are like running over police in Buffalo, like just slamming through groups of police on the street. This is really dangerous. You can't equate trying to stop that with the normal police state that we talk about on a regular basis when, you know, when we're covering Column 1 Liberty News.
Oh, definitely no. I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm trying to be conscious of the retaliation. Like, okay, they did that. Let's bring in the National Guard and just freaking crush them and kill 50 of them and round up the rest and put them in gulags. Kind of, that's kind of my gut reaction, is to do that, like China would, right? Or some other, you know, most other states in the history of humanity put those things down with brute force, right? We try to do better than here, but I absolutely agree. Like, when they're already, if they're Molotov cocktailing a police cruiser or van, then, you know, they should be shot at, for, absolutely, to kill. Same with if they go after, you know, a police station. I agree. But I also try to curb it and say, look, that doesn't mean we should deploy military and like, actively ferret them out and turn this into, like, Fallujah or something, right? I don't know. There's got to be a balance. But we do need to be more aggressive than maybe what the Minnesota governor was. I mean, look what happens when you're not.
Yeah, you get riots and anarchy and
encourages
death
it,
and
yeah,
and it creates the excessive rule law scenario.
Right.
The precedent's
exactly
being set, which another administration following Trump might try to employ, and in that time, not against, you know, minorities that are you know, race riots really for police brutality, but, you know, against gun owners.
Yeah, exactly. Take the Second Amendment. That's exactly where I'm heading with it. So you're right on there,
too. Second and third order effects of this could be profound and not good for liberty.
Yeah, no, not good for liberty at all. I like how you always point that out. It's not what we're looking at now. It's the precedent that's being set for 5, 10, 20 years from now. And maybe you love Trump, but is he going to be in power at all time? Do you want him to set the precedent for the next Obama or the next Hillary Clinton or worse that comes in? No, absolutely not. So anyway, all right, we only got about 3 or 4 minutes till break. If you had to pick one article that was not related to COVID and was not related to the riots that was on Future Danger News Blitz tonight, what would it be?
Unemployment and bankruptcies. It's the second shoe dropping. You know, in July, in March, it was all about debt being massively monetized, massive stock market, you know, drops, and a lot of those indicators that were, you know, hitting black on red are not with us right now. In fact, today, stock market gained. 7 days of rioting and the stock market's gaining. So how fake is that? How manipulated and artificial and centrally banked is that? And at the same time, you know, businesses are gone, jobs are gone, and that's real, right? So the economic, at the end of the day, remains to me bigger than the medical disaster and bigger than the, you know, the urban rioting. It's still how badly did that thing get whacked in March, and is are we ever going to have a what we consider a, you know, a legitimate economy again?
That's a freaking, have we had one in the last 10 years? I would say probably not. Now I would say certainly we do not. Let's put it a little bit in perspective, and we've tried this in a lot of different ways. Even had a contest where we asked, what is $1 trillion? Got some really good entries. Go back a couple episodes. Listen to that contest. By the way, to the winner, sending that silver dollar out this week, I promise. But what I'm trying to say is, here are some of the numbers from the economy. And we've seen, I would say, more than $1 billion in property damage from these riots. That's so much money, it sounds like. Not even close to $1 trillion. And in my calculation, COVID, the entire economy shut down, and all the deficit spending, etc., $6.5 trillion in damage. I mean, that is way beyond anything. I know obviously these riots are, you know, social, economic, and cultural. It's not just about the financial aspect, for sure. But absolutely trivial compared to what the Fed is printing. So very quick. I'm not going to get too deep in the numbers. It's hard to do over radio in particular. But here's my estimate feature, Dan. Ready? I'm going to break it down.
Yep.
They're expecting a 5% decrease in Q1. That's about $250 billion in lost production. $250 billion lost production Q1.
That's a done deal. That was reported.
Yep, that's locked in. $250 billion. Which is about 10 aircraft carriers, FYI. Okay, that sounds really bad, right? Oh my gosh, $250 billion, that's a hell of a lot. But they're expecting about 40% for Q2. So April 1st to May 31st, they're expecting. That won't be solid for another month, they won't calculate that. But that comes out to $2 trillion. So that's real damage. So $2 trillion in lost production in April, or yeah, April, May, and June. I mean, it's not over yet, I guess. Okay, through June. So $2 trillion. So now we're looking at $2.25 trillion when you combine those, $2.25 trillion. In lost production. That's just lost production. But we add in all that stimulus and those bailouts by the federal government. That's $1.2 trillion at least. So we're looking at almost $2.5 trillion right there, just in debt spending and lost production. $2.5-3 trillion right there. But then there's more. The Federal Reserve added to its balance sheet, totally separate from all this, $3 trillion since February. So let's just round it up and say between $6-7 trillion in lost production, debt spending by the government, and money printing by the Fed. $6-7 trillion is just unbelievable amount. Just had to. I mean, that's just from now on. That's assuming no further, second wave. It doesn't include the riots, which are causing damage and keeping some of these businesses shut when they're trying desperately to open up. But pretty crazy numbers. Those aren't even like real numbers, but they are. I mean, what do you think, man?
I think we called it last year. I think on the 100th episode of Patriot Power, we're going to play some clips, or you and I talked about this sort of thing, potential of it happening and happening it in the near future. Not to blow our own horns, but that's what this show's for. So a challenge to you and me now is to start thinking, what worse ahead? And let's just pray it doesn't come. But if it does, what's next?
Unfortunately, that's you're about right. This is about as far as we looked. We didn't go too much deeper than this when we were talking about 0% interest rates, civil unrest. I mean, all your indicators, a lot of them are quote-unquote fulfilled, right? Of course, they ebb and flow, but pretty amazing. So real quick, we're about to go to break, our final break. We're going to come back with a little home preparedness, and that'll be really interesting. But before we do, I want to go back to the winner, or the answer that the winner of our $1 trillion contest gave. Here it is. If the average lifetime earnings of a U.S. college graduate, a current U.S. college graduate, are about $1.65 million, then $1 trillion accounts for the entire lifetime's work of 606,000 college grads. So that's $1 trillion. 606,000 college grads, their entire lifetime's work, their entire income for their entire life is $1 trillion. Well, we just saw, let's just say $7 trillion, as I just noted, right? $7 trillion, it comes out to more than 4 million college graduates, their entire lifetime's work, sucked up or destroyed in the past 3 months. I don't have this number on hand, Future Dan, but are there even 4 million graduates per year? I think the entire class of 2020 and 2021 was probably sacrificed.
It's a hockey stick. You need to prepare. There's going to be a reset, and it might lead to war. This is not something that we're going to come out of easily.
Nope. All right, folks, we're going to be right back. Final segment of Patriot Power Hour. Stick with us.
my only son.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us, Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the national disaster relief effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
To oppose tyranny and fight for the rights our Creator bestowed us in the United States Constitution. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Okay, Colonel, now you got us all scared to death. What do you and the special forces think I ought to do about your psycho out there?
Let him go.
Do what?
For now. Defuse the whole situation. Defuse him. Provide a little gap and let him slip through it. Then put out a nationwide APB. In a couple of weeks, you'll pick him up in Seattle or someplace working in a car wash. There'll be no fight and nobody else will get hurt.
I do my own work. I don't figure the best way to do that is to close my eyes and then hope he gets picked up in Seattle.
Well, if you send your people in there after him, they'll get killed.
You know, we're just a small hick town sheriff's department, Colonel, but we're expected to do our duty just like our heroes in the special forces.
In special forces, we teach our people to stay alive in the line of duty.
No shit. I never thought of that.
You want a war you can't win?
Are you telling me that 200 men against your boy is a no-win situation for us?
You send that many, don't forget one thing.
What?
A good supply of body bags.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Welcome back to the Patriot Power Hour. June 2nd, 2020, episode 99. This is the fourth quarter. We're in the fourth quarter, Ben. We're going to talk about preps for the House, but this is going to be in extremist scenarios. We're going to talk about if you were in Minneapolis in a big zone on Saturday or Friday night with arson, looters, rampaging mobs within your vicinity, what can you do? What can you do? Are you ready?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. Most of this content is straight from military doctrine, various techniques and tactics, procedures that, you know, our Army is studied and learned about and prepared for. And it's military operations. Okay. And during the break a minute ago, you heard a few clips from a very great movie, First Blood, Rambo, which can be kind of made into a joke, like, oh, what are you going to be? You're going to be Rambo. I think you said it earlier in the show.
Yeah. I love Rambo, but exactly. I kind of made light of it, or exactly.
Yeah. And it's all fun and games till, like, your neighbor's houses are burning down and people are getting raped. Then it's like, maybe I know how to do stuff. Right?
Yes, sir.
Now, the bug out or the bug in debate in the prepper world, we're not going to do that right now, okay? We're going to assume that for whatever reason, the risk calculus is such that movement to and being positioned in your bug out location, those two variables added together are greater risk than staying where you are bugging in, right?
Yeah.
If you're inclined as you listen to this to say, oh, I just bug out, well, then do it. But if you can't, or if you choose not to, maybe you got family members that can't travel. They're not, you know, well enough. Maybe you just have nowhere to go, right? If you're going to prepare, let's talk about doing it to the maximum degree possible, okay? So survivability in combat engineering has a meaning, right? It has a very narrow meaning to that art. And we're talking about basically fortifying, hardening, you know, protecting units, which if you're in this scenario, you're the unit. You and your family, you and your friends, you and your group, you're the unit, right? So we're going to talk about home riot survivability measures. And I love feedback from listeners. Thank you all for listening, by the way, all the time. Thank you for taking your time to check out Patriot Power. We're trying to give tell you some things that you may not have heard before. If you hear something that you take exception to, definitely email dethronethebanksters.com immediately and tell them what I told you wrong. Just kidding. Okay.
dethronethebanksters@gmail.com.
Yeah, or info@futuredanger.com. Let me hear it. Because maybe this isn't 100% sound advice. Kind of put this article together real quick. It's not even an article. We're not publishing anywhere. We're just going to talk about it. Put the script together, what we did. All right? So I'll be reading a little bit. This is modifications of various sources, plus a little bit of common sense and, you know, practical know-how added to it. You ready, Ben?
Let's do it.
Here we go. All right. So with little preparation, buildings can protect defenders from direct fire, gunfire, right? They also limit observation. They limit engagement ranges. So common sense is if there's threats outside, being in a building's safer. That's natural. You don't have to think about that. All right. Nearly all buildings protect people from, provide ballistic protection from gunfire. And stone buildings, obviously, can protect against most weapons possessed by civilians, even civilian police forces. Then they're not going to protect against, you know, armed forces for long. But in a riot type scenario, where there is gunfire in the street, there is violence nearby, you know, your buildings, especially stone buildings, are going to be good to be in. Now, I call this home riot survivability measures, but don't be caught up in the idea that you have to stay in your home. If necessary, you could fortify another building where it makes sense, right? And if it's built better than, a timber house, you may want to consider it, okay? Yeah. Buildings conceal your location. What you're doing while you're in your location, your disposition, are you sleeping? Are you pulling security? Are you working within it? You know, you're in a building, right? You have concealment. And it conceals your intent. What do you plan to be doing next if you're under observation, all right? They can conceal maneuver available to you, right? If you exit the building you're in and you want to, escape, withdraw, or potentially attack and counterattack threats, buildings are great for that purpose. You're not out in the wide open, right? If you know the terrain, which you probably should if you're going to fortify a building, know your immediate area, all right? You have time, you have opportunities to select and prepare routes inside the building, right? And it's hard to be spotted in a building if you're careful, right? So obviously, you know, that's why urban warfare is so tough for attackers and so beneficial to defenders.
Sure.
So if you were in a home, you're in a position in an urban terrain where you needed to make your house harden it, here's some things you could do, okay? First, we're going to talk about obstacles, right? And there's certain classes of obstacles. Not going to talk about anything lethal here. Not going to talk about mines. Not going to talk about booby traps. Not going to talk about improvised explosive devices. None of that, okay? Use your imagination and do your own research online. I'm sure the FBI will find out who you are quite quickly. buy a book that has it in there because those were published for years before there was an internet. Not going to talk about how to make them, how to employ them, the upsides, the downsides of anything lethal for obvious reasons. I don't want to be censored. And I don't want to be visited by authorities, especially during the worst rioting in several decades. But there are obstacles you can in place, right? But just to talk about them in general, you know, you're going to want to block streets. You're going to want to block routes near your house. You're going to want to restrict maneuver options for rioters and looters. All right. You got different types of obstacles. You got existing obstacles. They're the natural ones. All right. Just a steep bank, a wall that is already there. Many, many forms. If there's bodies of water near where you live or where you're trying to fortify. Right. Think in a scenario where you're halfway through your bug out and you had to start fortifying just because you couldn't get to where you're going. Some of these principles apply in lots of without rule of law scenarios. All right. So you got existing obstacles. You got reinforcing obstacles. Those are ones you put in. Those are created to impede movement. So we're going to focus on the reinforcing obstacles. But you can't start doing reinforcing obstacles before you recognize what the existing ones are. And you got to tie them in together, all right? And again, the non-lethal obstacles that I'm going to talk about, mostly barriers and the materials that it takes to do that, and wire obstacles, okay? And these are expedient obstacles. They're created by using whatever you have available, right? Now, you can go buy stockpiles of classes of supply that allow you to, do this. You could go buy Constantino wire. And in a little bit, I'm going to talk to you about buying sandbags, okay? But you should be able to think about all kinds of materials that could also provide various obstacles if you needed them hastily, okay? Using combinations of these things is key when you develop your urban defense. Are you with me this far?
Oh, for sure. Definitely.
All right. Let me stop right there. Any questions?
Let's see.
Certainly I blew past some of that.
No. And we're on a little bit of short timeline, even though we had a full 90 minutes. We're doing work tonight. I have a lot of questions about the sandbags, actually. I don't want to get okay. past that too much.
I'm getting to that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know that. In terms of neighborhood defense, or I guess where do you, this scenario that you're kind of referencing, is this in a suburban area, an urban area, rural? And when you talk about, putting trees down in front of roads or driveways, how much do you want to work with neighbors? I mean, obviously, if you know that they're preppers and you have a great relationship, that's a good idea. But do you, if stuff's starting to hit the fan, do you want to try to enlist their help immediately? Or is it every man for themselves at that point? You have to pre-plan that way before stuff hits the fan.
Yeah, this is more of like your own personal Alamo situation. Yeah. There's no authorities. Your concerns of your neighbors and cutting down their tree are completely inappropriate to the moment. You have no hope of or expectation that police, fire, emergency, EMT, National Guard, there's nobody there. And you've been isolated for a period of time, days, shall we say.
Okay.
People near and close to you are suffering, if not having been a victim of the without rule of law. This is in extremis. That's what we're talking about here.
Okay. when it's really like, hey, there's marauders out there. And, you know, if the three or five houses on this block don't band together and fortify, you know, together, we're in some real trouble, that type of situation. You don't care about the landscaping.
No. Yeah, and I'm not going to be waiting to, you know, negotiate my teaming arrangements with neighbors who are unprepared at this point.
Exactly. Now, that's the thing. That's what I wanted to get to a little bit. Or like, that's kind of where my focus was. It's like a lot of the neighbors are going to be so scared out of their wits, they're never going to really go for this. You just leave them behind at that point, right? I mean, you know, you got to worry for yourself at some point.
Right, but if you have this knowledge, the skills, and you do what I'm about to talk about, you may attract people who are definitely looking to volunteer for your unit to save their own skin pretty fast, and that's a whole separate conversation. And I know that lots of people on this network and elsewhere in the preparedness community talk about building community long before it happens. I'm kind of setting that out of the equation right now. This is you and whoever you have that is in your team, and the structure or set of structures, the battle space that you've decided you're gonna defend, and then how to practically do that.
Perfect, makes sense. So you got about, I'd say, 5 or 6 minutes. Have at it.
All right, let me blow through this. Okay, so types of obstacles that you could use to defend property. One of them would be an apatis. It's also known as fallen trees laid down in a crossing pattern. Get that chainsaw out, drop trees across roads and cross them. Make it so it's they're not easy to remove. Apatis have been used since Roman times. Log obstacles. If you know how to make them, hurdles, cribs, posts, those can be done for vehicles. Kind of be hard to put them into concrete. So if you haven't prepared ones ahead of time, pre-prepared obstacles, those were kind of hard. Getting damaged vehicle hulks into roads. Controlled fires, putting fires near you that don't endanger your structure, but definitely make terrain near your defense unable to be occupied, might be a good idea. Burn the neighbor's house down, and it gives you a field of fire after the house is gone. And, of course, wire obstacles. Wire obstacles, I really want to focus on them. You can do a lot with just simply barbed wire, okay? One of them is called double apron barbed wire fencing. Look it up. Google it. It shows you how to make it. Double apron is very manpower intensive, material intensive, but can build some pretty powerful obstacles, hard to get through. People would have to bring wire cutters. And if you're defending it with small arms, it'd be a challenge unless they were highly trained. Another one, I love this stuff, Tanglefoot. It's a matrix of barbed wire that runs close to the ground, basically 6-inch to 12-inch stakes. And you just, zigzag barbed wire, and you do it in an interlocking pattern, and it works really well in tall grass. And any threat running through that doesn't know it's there, you're going to drop them. You're going to drop them into a field of barbed wire, and you can hear it, too. You can string it up with cans, make sure it becomes an advanced notice, early warning capability. Those are obstacles. I'm not going to tell you where to put it on your house or how to do it. You got to just think, these are the materials, these are the techniques, this is where I might have to defend, where would I do this sort of thing, okay? Research it online, all those terms, double apron, tangle foot, obstacles like abatis, easy to look up, you can learn a lot more. Building fortifications, okay? Normal houses are not bulletproof, Ben. Storing material for setting up metal interior walls, just isn't practical. Of course, you're going to see people on Doomsday Preppers who build like floors that hinge up and become armor-proof walls of houses. I'm not talking about that, all right? It could take a half inch of steel, 3/4 inch of aluminum to stop a bullet, a rifle bullet, unless it's especially high-powered, then it takes more, okay? Think about sandbagging. Thick bags of sand could just as easily stop a speeding bullet as plates of steel. They're cheaper to construct than metal wall reinforcements. Polypropylene sandbags on Amazon. Looked it up last night. They go about 30 cents each when you buy them in several $100 packs. So you could probably get, 1,000 of them for like about $300. All right. When they're empty, they're easy to transport and store. right? Don't take a lot of space.
And you can use pretty much anything, or would you have like fine granulated sand, like a big pile in your backyard to prepare, or could you literally just use the lawn? I mean, it's not as efficient, maybe a little harder to dig up, but you could just use any type of dirt, right?
I'd be putting an anti-personnel trench into a lawn at the same time I was throwing sandbags to fortify the interior of my house. You work these things together, sand or dirt, anywhere you can find it, all right? It's readily available in most urban terrain except for, like, urban core, the downtown or central business districts. None of this advice is going to help you if you're an apartment prepper, okay? But if you got sources of dirt and you got sandbags, you can start fortifying, all right? It takes manpower, but fill up those bags and construct walls or especially reinforce the interior of your house. Typical bag weighs about 50 pounds when full. They come with ties on them, drawstrings. All right, you close them up, you place them in. All right, now I want everybody listening to know there's a real hazard of collapse of your house if you start fortifying upper floors too much, all right? These things can be, you know, start to weigh tons quickly. So mostly talking about doing this on the bottom floor of your house, okay?
Okay.
Plan your sandbag fortifications out. Standard sandbags are 14-inch by 26-inch, all right? Foot by 2 feet, roughly, all right? So you determine how high you want to go and how long your sandbag wall needs to be, and you lay it up on the interior of your house, okay? It's going to stop bullets. Average person can fill 20 sandbags in an hour. Keep that in mind when you're calculating how much you need and how fast you've got to do it. All right? If you've got 72 hours of without rule of law, you can do a lot of this. Sandbag walls at the base of windows can provide cover needed while you're returning fire out those windows. By the way, over your obstacles. Sandbags can be used to prevent doors from opening, and then you can remove them later. All right? You can sandbag walls of interior rooms up to 4 feet high. Create safe spaces. So if you're under fire, you can go, you can take care of wounded, you can reload, you can make plans. And again, because it's urban terrain, they don't know what you're doing while you're in there, and they probably don't expect you to be safe. So they're just wasting ammo and giving away their position. Major takeaways. I got a few minutes.
You got about 60 seconds, and then we've got to get off for a Next Generation show. 60 seconds.
Here we go. Continually improve your defenses when you enter a without a rule status in your neighborhood. Terrain factors to consider, avenues of approach, engagement areas, friendly positions inside the house. Okay? Before hostilities, obstacles can deter rioters and looters without posing an offensive threat. Visible obstacles along your property line can demonstrate your resolve to defend. They may just go away. Always remember that obstacles not covered by small arms fire are several times less effective. You, as an urban defender, must be skilled at close quarter combats and quick fire techniques. You can't fight around this stuff if you don't know how to operate that way. These things only work up to a certain point. Unless you have a seriously flame-resistant roofing or siding, a large enough group of rioters will eventually start a fire needed to burn down your position. Be prepared to withdraw from a fortified building if your defense cannot repel that kind of attack. But if you're ready with this kind of defense, you may be able to repel the only attack you need to. There you go. Episode 9. It's a wrap.
That's a wrap, folks. Episode 99. We'll be back live next week. Until then, stay tuned. Next Generation shows come on right now. Episode 100 next week. Patriot Power Hour. See you guys.